It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Now to the State of the State speech. Each year, the governor gives the State of the State address to the legislature, and we unpack the themes from last night's primetime speech. Your reaction to Governor Tony Evers' first State of the State of his second term in office. Call in with your questions, your observations, what you heard, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson is here, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate.
Hi. So I heard you call last night a mini budget address from Governor Evers. What made it feel that way to you?
Yeah, you know, some State of the State addresses are strictly cheerleading or kind of broad themes, look ahead. If it's an election year, you know, you'll hear a governor kind of lay out their platform in that way. I think with this speech and with this budget coming in about a month and with this massive budget surplus that the governor's going to have to work with here, he had just no shortage of material of stuff he wants to kind of start talking about now. And so you heard him mention, you know, very specific dollar figures for programs that are going to be in his budget. He talked about $270 million for student mental health, $100 million to address PFAS, 20% of the state's sales tax revenue for local governments. Kind of list goes on and on. So while not a thorough, complete budget address that tells you how the whole thing's going to work, he gave a lot of sneak peeks into the budget he's going to introduce next month.
And he ended his speech with some motivational words about working together with the legislature. Let's hear his final words.
If we are inspired, not by power, but by partnership, if we are dedicated, not to selfish interests, but to self-sacrifice, if we can forge new paths, not through conflict, but through collaboration, then together we will.
So how does the governor plan to bring Democrats and Republicans together to advance policy?
I don't know. I mean, if you just looked at last night's speech and the reaction is kind of a microcosm of state government, they're not together on anything you mentioned in his speech. I think there was pretty much a 0% applause rate from the Republican side of the aisle for the governor's speech. So the relationship that existed in his first term between, you know, him, his office, and Republican leaders of the legislature still very much exists. Although I will say there is at least one area, I'll say, where it's a big picture item when the governor's talking about shared revenue. You know, it does seem like Republicans and the governor might work together on that.
And let's,
as far as the overall mood in the legislature, I'm not so sure.
Let's hear that moment on shared revenue to local governments, like really dramatically changing how they are funded and getting a standing ovation in the parlor after saying this.
I'm announcing tonight that I will work together on a budget provision that will send a total of up to 20% of the state's sales tax revenue back to our local communities for shared revenue.
So up to 20% of the state's sales tax revenue. What does that look like for communities?
We don't have the fine details of the proposal yet, but if you just kind of take the summary that the governor laid out for us last night, assuming that it's basically, you know, on the broad strokes correct, he says it's going to be $500 million more annually for Wisconsin communities. So shared revenue. That is a substantial investment. And I think also the fact that he would be talking about taking a percentage of the state's sales tax revenue and dedicating that to local governments is significant. It's more significant than if he just said, here's a dollar figure that we're going to devote to them, because then the dollar figure could just sit there in future budgets. You know, lawmakers are not under an obligation to increase it every budget necessarily. Whereas if it's a percentage, it grows as the state's economy grows. So that would be certainly something that would be a big political win for Wisconsin counties, cities, local governments. I'm not sure where Republicans are on that specifically.
But they didn't criticize it in the way that they did with other provisions. We've heard them floating, you know, designated, I think, 1% of the state sales tax to replace shared revenue. I mean, what might compromise look like on shared revenue? What might Republicans think of this?
I am not sure what the compromise will look like, but I can tell you that I'm just used to, after a governor's speech like this, if he, at this governor and this legislature, when he introduced a big proposal like this that would spend a substantial amount of money, the stock response, the consistent response from Republican leaders has been, you know, we can't afford it. It's too expensive. He's spending, you know, state taxpayer money too freely. They didn't say, we love the governor's shared revenue plan after this speech, but they said, we're talking, and that they are looking at it. And they have kind of acknowledged that local governments have had to face inflationary pressures like everybody else right now, and that paying local bills is becoming too much for some local governments. So it really does sound like the kind of issue where there could be an agreement between Republicans and Evers. I think if that happens, though, it's not going to be the kind of thing where Evers announces it in the speech and Republican leaders come back and say, yeah, we like that. I think they would all have to claim some kind of victory in the final product.
Does Evers being, you know, in a second term have any impact here on his influence with members across the aisle?
I think that's still an open question. We're so early in the term. You could imagine that it might. It was his first term. You got the sense that Republicans viewed it as sort of a four-year blip, that, you know, they felt that they were going to have a Republican governor to work with in the year 2023. And that's not the case. Evers won by a larger margin than he did in his first election. He is, you know, by every definition, a legitimate governor who's going to be around for a while. So it may affect this term in ways that we don't yet know compared to the first term. You have seen the Senate start to, you know, forward some of his appointees to various committees for consideration. So the Senate has to confirm the governor's appointees. Those appointees can serve without Senate confirmation. But, you know, the typical way that things would happen is the Senate would confirm these people. They hadn't been doing that in the governor's first term. They've at least taken that step to saying, with many of these appointees, we're going to consider these now. So that looks like a tangible sign where things are a little different, a little more functional than they were in Evers' first term.
Getting analysis and context about Governor Tony Evers' State of the State address in primetime last night. John Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief, our guide. You can join in on what you heard from the speech, your observation, your takeaways, 800-642-1234. Let's turn to after the governor's speech. We heard from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss delivering an official Republican response.
Now, don't get me wrong, Republicans understand costs are rising for our local schools and local governments just like they are for our families. Government must do things differently if we have any hope of keeping our tax burden heading in the right direction.
So do things differently. How do the Republican priorities this response? What did you hear from it?
I think their boss may be alluding to kind of what he wants to see if the state's going to do something different for local governments with shared revenue. And he has a lot of ideas that he shared on the topic, including in Milwaukee, he wants to see, you know, more shared services, potentially, it sounds like, from the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. His big mantra since the election, Voss's big refrain has been, that I want to see some kind of reform. And of course, that word's always in the eye of the beholder, but some kind of reform before we just give new revenue. You know, so I think whatever that ends up being, he wants to see local governments or the state government come his way in some way before he okays any new state dollars going to them.
And he has said before how he wants the new budget to cut taxes significantly more than the current two-year budget. So where did the state of the state take us on tax relief?
Yeah, the governor talked about that in a couple different ways. One, he said that this idea that some Republicans, namely Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, have been talking about with a flat tax, where all taxpayers, regardless of their income, are taxed at the same rate. Evers said that is a no-go, basically. You know, he kind of politely said, I'm not going to support anything that just you know, digs us in a hole for future budgets, leads to potential spending cuts in future budgets because we can't afford the tax cut. So that is something that the governor has drawn at this point a pretty firm line on, and that he won't support what's known as a flat tax. He says he will have a tax cut in his budget, but that it'll be responsible. In the past, he's talked about a middle class tax cut. Voss is saying, though, and Lemahieu is saying, that our budget starts with the tax cut. That's what we want to do most. And so we're going to decide on that and how big it is, and we'll build the rest of the budget from there, which is a different starting point from Evers, who has said, I want to start with like $2 billion more for schools, and then we'll start from that point.
2023, year of mental health. What did you take away from that focus of the speech?
Yeah, the governor in several of his speeches since he's been elected has declared it the year of something, you know, the year of water,
clean water,
the year of broadband, I think was one of them.
Yep.
But mental health, it's not, that's not like necessarily a reelection, you know, you score lots of political points by running on mental health. This is a governor who's won a first term, and he is really focused on this issue, and in a big, substantial way, too. He's talking about $500 million total for mental health, including $270 million for mental health directed at young people. That is a substantial new investment in the world of state government. And, you know, just based on what Republicans were saying after the speech, I don't know that they're going to go that high. I mean, you know, Speaker Voss hinted as much, and then later on Twitter, when he was talking about it, said it's not going to happen, basically. So there could be some money in the budget that they pass that goes toward mental health, but, you know, I don't know how they're going to, you know, square things away with the governor on that one.
Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Call in with your questions, your thoughts about state politics. The number to call is 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're catching up on state politics with WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, our guide. Still time to talk. Join our conversation on state politics. Call with your questions, your observations, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So, Sean, last week we saw the bipartisan group of state lawmakers advancing this proposed constitutional amendment giving judges the ability to set higher bail amounts, that proposal now appearing on spring ballots for a statewide referendum. Explain what would need to happen next to amend the Constitution.
Really, the last step on this one is that it is up to the voters, and that if the voters pass these referendums that are going to be on the ballot in April, that the referendum question on bail, then that's it. The Constitution is amended, because to get here, the last legislature passed this resolution, the last legislature being, you know, the one that met in the years 2021 and 2022. And then we have a new session of the legislature that just convened in January. They passed the identical resolution in the Senate and the Assembly. That sends it to voters, and it's up to voters now. If they say yes, we amend the Constitution. If they say no, the whole process has to start back over again.
What does Governor Evers support in the process of setting bail?
I'm not sure where he's at on the specific wording of this question, but in this case, because it's a proposed amendment to the Constitution, it sidesteps the governor. It's not something where, you know, we're used to this dynamic in state government where anytime Republican lawmakers pass something that's somewhat controversial, if it's a bill, it's got to go to the governor. You kind of know what's going to happen. He is probably going to veto it. he's out of the process when it comes to a resolution like this or a constitutional amendment like this. So it's really just the legislature and the public that that get to weigh in on this. And, typically I think Republicans feel like when it comes to a measure that I think you would say fits in their wheelhouse of sort of tough on crime proposals, they like their odds with that, but it's really, it's up to voters.
We also saw Republican lawmakers advancing this advisory referendum to ask voters if the state should require able-bodied, childless adults to look for work to receive welfare payments. We heard Voss allude to that as well last night. Democrats oppose scheduling the referendum. And let's hear Democratic State Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard.
Advisory referendums are supposed to do just that, advise. So the people are going to advise lawmakers on something that is already the law in the state of Wisconsin. That only makes sense if you're looking at the world through a cynical and political lens.
Sean, why are lawmakers creating this advisory referendum on work requirements?
Well, I guess Republicans are saying that they want to hear from the public on an issue, and it's important to get the public's point of view on this. Democrats, including Senate Minority Leader Melissa Agard, are saying this is pretty transparent political ploy here, that you already do require the people to perform work searches to receive public benefits like unemployment insurance. The state does not require it for something like Medicaid, though, although that is not entirely in the state's hands. You're dealing with what's permitted by the federal government there and what's permitted by the federal court system when it comes to a federal program like Medicaid. But one reason you do see advisory referendums get put on the ballot, it happens from time to time, especially at the local level, is it gives people something else to turn out for other than whatever else is on the ballot. You know, people might not be interested in lower turnout races, but they might have opinions about, what you're going to do with, the way that the resolution frames it, using funds for welfare.
Is there evidence that ballot measures boost turnout for a party?
I think you could go, you would probably depend on the measures, but I do know that we have a lot of them and they're often pretty political in nature. Mm. So like in a county that wants to boost Democratic turnout, for example, and normally this happens at the local level where a county board will pass a resolution and get voters at the local level to weigh in and stuff. So, they might ask, do you favor legalizing marijuana for recreational purposes? Or do you favor nonpartisan redistricting? Or, you just kind of go on and on down the list of, issues that we might have talked about in a given day. And I think you'd want to talk to a proper political scientist on whether there's actual hard evidence of elections where these things work. But I think that people who are professional vote getters feel like they work enough that they keep trying them. And that is what the legislature is doing here with this resolution for the April election, when we are going to be electing a state Supreme Court justice that could tip the ideological balance of the court from conservative to liberal for the first time since 2008. So it's just a monumental election. And I'm not sure that, given the sort of the stakes of the election and how much money is going to be spent on it, I'm not sure how many people are going to be going to the voting booth and saying, well, I really want to weigh in on this advisory referendum. But it is sort of a tool at the legislature's disposal to get the public to turn out and vote and speak their mind. It also, I would say, as they get in sort of this PR battle, the Republican legislature with the governor, he will often say about his policy agenda, look, the public is with me on all these issues, Medicaid expansion, gun control, marijuana legalization, look at the polling numbers. So this could be a way for the legislature to say, well, look at this. We sent this something we support to the voters and they approved it in this advisory referendum, if that's what happens.
Should we be keeping our eyes peeled? Are there other potential measures waiting in the wings to get on the April ballot?
They won't have enough time to get other stuff at the statewide level on the April ballot. Okay. But I do wonder if this is the start of a trend for Republican legislators who, for certainly at least the next 4 years, are in a situation where they're dealing with the Democratic governor, and maybe they start doing these advisory referendums more. It's for as easy as it is for the legislature to put these things on the ballot, they haven't done it a whole lot, but maybe that's changing.
And, you know, very quickly here, as we wrap up, we have seen, you know, state Senate Democrats really trying to push the advisory referendum that would ask voters about overturning the state's abortion ban. Is that headed anywhere with Republican lawmakers?
That is not going to be on the ballot as long as Republican lawmakers are controlling the legislature, which, you know, they will be doing for at least the foreseeable future. But it's not going to stop Democrats from talking about it, because they feel like, I mean, they've looked at polling, and the majority of the public is with them on this issue. And also, it is an issue that motivates the Democratic base in a big way, as we saw in 2022. So even though it's a losing cause in the state legislature, as long as Republicans are running the legislature in Wisconsin, it's something you're going to hear a lot about from Democrats, including in the run-up to that April Supreme Court election, where abortion really could be decided in substantial ways by the next state Supreme Court.
Sean, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. And just a heads up, if you want to listen to those speeches last night, the State of the State, the Republican response in their entirety, go to pbswisconsin.org. They're right there. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.